I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Again, I don't care about any convention. How many people does it take? Bring that Secret Service head in now. Here is Bill Barr, though. Now, Bill Barr, we know the antagonism between Barr and Trump, former attorney general. But Bill Barr over the weekend with, he was on with Jesse, I believe, talked about the demonization of Trump and how what I've been saying, making him other, Hitler and the like, is so much different and so much more out of bounds than anything that we've seen. Well, here's Bill Barr. I want to play the Barr cut. Yeah.
What was bothering me was that the thrust of the Democratic narrative for this election year had become that Trump was a mortal danger to our democracy. And if he wins, the country's going away. And when you take that position, that is an apocalyptic and hysterical position that's bound to lead to violence eventually.
Do you see the Democrats
combine that with the personal demonization?
Do you, Mr. Attorney General, do you see the Democrats scaling back that language? Because that, as you said, was the cornerstone of Biden's reelection strategy.
Right. And you know, the sentiments expressed by the president in his remarks just now were very noble, and I hope they follow them, because if they believe it, they will scale back the rhetoric. And what he said about, you know, differences in policy, fine. You can attack your adversaries, you can attack their character and their policies and so forth. But they demonized him, calling him Adolf Hitler, a racist, and a fascist, and so forth. It's ridiculous. He's not the threat to democracy that they're portraying. He was president for 4 years, and he carried out excellent policies, and it was all done lawfully.
All right, there you go. So even calling him a racist, that's within boundaries. You can call somebody a racist in this. It's the Hitler thing that everybody knows. And Hitler means, well, this is 1932, Nazi Germany. You're not going to have a country. You got to stop them. That's what all this has been about. Now, getting in the side, you know, that's why there's fear of voting shenanigans. You know, people are thinking, well, I got to stop this. I'm in a swing state. I'll do X because Trump's got to be stopped. And I'm not going to go to jail. I'll be celebrated as a hero. I wouldn't say we have any sense of it with somebody like the shooter, because when you get to this level of taking this type of action, getting inside that mind is almost impossible to ascribe various things to it. But he's right about the broader point. Are they going to stop it with this stuff? And the answer is they're not. They're going to let it try to blow over. But imagine how unprecedented this is, how embarrassing it should be. That the flagship, if you will, show of MSNBC, of NBC, was taken off today. I didn't see word of whether it'll be on tomorrow. And then they try to skate out of it by saying, well, they have 24 contributors, and we're not sure the contributors might say something that would be inappropriate. No, it's Morning Joe and Mika Brzezinski. Have we finally arrived where somebody in the media realizes the damage these two might inflict if they had been on the air this morning? They're paid millions of dollars a year each. They're in the mainstream NBC News of mainstream. And they can't be trusted over the course of, what are they on, 2 or 3 hours? 3 hours, I guess, right? To act appropriately enough that they actually took, you know how bad that looks? That would be like taking one of the hosts off here. Ah, we can't trust them. Can't have them on, that they'll act appropriately in this.
It's nuts.
Yeah. And they're not doing commentary like we are. They got all kinds of people and all. Well, then, you know, tell us which one of the 12 or two dozen contributors do they have? Maybe you don't put them on. No one would notice. No, they know these two are that toxic, that crazed, that they would say stuff that couldn't be defended. But I never remember that happening. I don't remember it happening in a moment like this, that they couldn't be trusted. So you're seeing a turnaround here. I'm not saying NBC's doing it out of benevolence to Trump. They're doing it out of self-interest that they can't trust these people. All right, and I wonder if people are okay with the unity theme from Trump. That doesn't mean he's not going to go after them on policies. It doesn't mean there's not going to be pushback. But just think like Trump in that position. It's smart. It is exactly what you ought to be doing. And I'm not saying he's a changed man because he was shot and hit and how close you come to death. Nobody knows that. But I am saying that this is exactly what he should be doing at this moment. And that's what this convention should do. And if any big mouth gets up there and they want their 15 minutes and they go wild, then I'm going to say they are. And that's just going to have slobber coming down. Oh, did you hear that? That's great. That's what we want. Something crazy. No. You got them on the ropes. That's where discipline comes in here. Trump said, I prepared an extremely tough speech, really good all about the corrupt, horrible administration, but I just threw it away. There'll be another speech on Thursday. Not only that, he's ginning up excitement over the speech versus the usual stuff. And, of course, the added factor, Danny's got the mixed martial arts guy introducing him with the bandage on. Yesterday he played golf, too. That was exactly the right move. Now, allegedly, he sank a 20-foot putter.
Off, man. Come on.
A 20-foot putter with a lot of break. Dan, it wouldn't matter to you. But when you have a putt that long with a lot of break, it's really hard to calculate. And he allegedly said the only difference between the shooter and me is I don't miss when he made the putt. Now, whether he said that or not, I don't know. But Monday night is Make America Wealthy once again. Tuesday night, Make America Safe once again. Wednesday, Make America Strong once again, and Make America Great once again on Thursday. Thank God we would have run out for the fifth night. But I like that. The theme of each night is exactly what people pick up on. All right, let me go to Bo in Levittown. He's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bo, good afternoon.
Hey, Dom. First of all, I want to say, like, I was already in a bad mood because of the Pennsylvania budget. And then when I heard what happened, the president, Trump, I was initially shocked, then I became angry, and then, thank God, I became relieved after I knew he was okay, and then I became upset again when I found out that that gentleman, giving his life for his daughter and his wife, got killed. So, I mean, all in all, you know, I could say I'm pretty upset about it. President Trump's handled it well from that standpoint. The thing that gets to me, and it's because of your show, there's certain words that trigger me, Dom, and one's a phrase. The first one is no evidence. I want J.D. Vance, when he's elected vice president, to go on that show and bring a big box and say, when George says, what's this? He goes, George, this is evidence. So that's one of the phrases you always trigger me on with George Stephanopoulos and Martha Raddatz say no evidence. The other one is decency, which the president used in his speech.
By the way, I count the dean of decency. You lead me to that. The dean of decency. Now, every other representative that I can find, even Chrissy Hoyhan, who's a Democrat, has said the right things, violence, political violence, anti. The dean of stinking decency, though, didn't have the decency to tweet out anything, Bo, or her comrade in arms, so to speak, Mary Gay Scanlon. Neither one of them think they should comment, at least as of this morning, on this.
Decency.
And as President Biden says, we're going to settle this at the battle box.
Yes.
Now, how come they weren't freaking out when President Biden uses battle, and then President Trump, who practically got assassinated, holds his fist up and goes fight, 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 which doesn't mean fight, fight, fight and
right.
cause a civil war, but to go out there, perform your civic duty, vote on the issues, vote on the policy. and move on. They always got to find an angle. And I, you know, what's will be interesting to me, and maybe you should start a pool, you know, on the station to see how long it takes before they start using their rhetoric again, like Hitler and threat to democracy. And that's the other thing. That's another trigger word for me, democracy, because as you state often, we're a constitutional.
Yeah. Republic. What are we talking about? Yes.
All right. What are we talking about?
Well, who's your what's your event that you remember? In
well,
real time?
My event, and I hate to say it, I'd have to break out the fate of Polaroids, but my father purchased for my brother, me, and my dad. We went to the first game at the Vet, and that was memorable. And my dad and my daughter, for this past Father's Day, bought me a shirt. It says the Vet. It has the dates on it, and then it says Pride, Pretzels, and Prisons. And on the back, it has all the wonderful Phillies that played during that era. I think it was 1971 through 2003. So I remember going to one of the games at Connie Mack before they closed, and then my dad getting us tickets for the first game.
That is a great one. Thank you, Bo. Yeah, the opening of the Vet, which was seen, Dan, back then. If you can imagine those cookie cutter stadiums, Three Rivers, the Vet. Who else did one? There were like four or five of them. And particularly playing football on that. But people thought, oh, this is wonderful. Look at the modern stadium, right? Versus Citibank, which is really hard to beat of every aspect that's in there. All right, 855-839-1210. Here's a little montage Dan has put together or found of leftist mainstream media decrying violent behavior.
Sorry, this is actually them fueling violent behavior.
Oh, fueling violent
behavior.
Yeah,
no, this is leading up. The reason why I pulled this
Hitler, right.
Yeah, going back to Lenny, I'm so annoyed that there's just a complete lack of accountability being taken by media members and people on the left for hateful rhetoric that led to an assassination. Meanwhile, trying to call out Trump for his rhetoric and trying to say January 6th, what he incited led to that, but then completely refusing to even accept responsibility for saying things like...
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought you should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
Kathy Griffin with the Trump head in her hand.
Oh, yeah. I have thought an awful
Madonna.
Lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service.
It goes on for another 2 minutes or so, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but to Bill Barr put it the best over the weekend. He was right on the money. When you say Hitler repeatedly, and you mean the end of the Constitution, the end of the country, then there's an equal sign. This is not something a few steps removed. You must do something to stop that. That's much different. Even the worst critique of Biden's character or anything like that versus Hitler repeatedly. Dobbs and democracy. Hitler. Immunity clause. Now Hitler can be on the run. You know, whether you're silly like these women on The View or not. Now, ascribing that, though, to this shooter yesterday, I know I'm on safer ground where I go immediately, Dan, because I can't get inside the mind of these people that should have been stopped a long time ago. I know there's only one thing to do, competency. And the big story out of this is a screw-up that is of un...
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love Love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Precedented level with the Secret Service.
Yeah.
That's what Biden should have done. And if he really wanted to make an impact and maybe help himself politically, fire the head of the FBI, Secret Service today, take the weekend, you know, clarify what happened there and fire a bunch more. Fire a bunch more of them and even ask, are these the best that we have? That would be, well, Democrat Party. My God. That woman who's
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy on the stage trying to help Trump off. Fire her.
Mall cop.
Yeah, that might have had some impact for people to say, you're really serious. When you can't have the Secret Service, the only group that I could, the progressives have not tarnished yet, to the best of my knowledge, are Navy SEALs. What is left that they haven't gotten their hands around that they've started to diminish it? The best and the brightest.
Can I pose one open question to a listener?
Yeah.
A particular listener. His name's Jake, Mr. Tapper. I know you do listen to the show.
Yeah.
Yesterday and Saturday, you were on CNN. I was watching you essentially say that, you know, this is horrible. You know, the rhetoric has led to this. Mm-hmm. He's pointed out both from the left and the right. But here's some Jake Tapper. And I got to ask, Jake, if you think this is true and your mindset behind this is, hey, you know, this guy is actually this bad, would that not make you supportive of an assassination attempt? And if not, I got a question. Where is this mindset coming from? Who's writing the script? And is that person who's writing the script trying to make these comparisons, do they support this assassination attempt? Take a listen, Dom. Here is some Jake Tapper.
The dehumanizing rhetoric of Adolf Hitler is once again alive and well on a national political stage. This time, of course, in the United States.
Donald Trump, a couple times over the weekend,
referred to immigrants from South America, Africa, and Asia. He did not mention Europe. South America, Africa, and Asia as, quote, poisoning the blood of our country, which it's not hyperbole. That does very directly echo Adolf Hitler's language before World War II. To open up a copy of Hitler's Mein Kampf, you would find the Nazi leader describing the mixing of non-Germans with Germans as poisoning. There's really no other way to say it. Donald Trump's language mirrors this directly.
So I just asked Jake, if you are listening, do the right thing and at least apologize and accept some accountability for what you did and moving forward, learn from it and don't fall back into this because it's only going to be a week. Next week after the convention, they're going to fall back into this hatred and you know it. And there's nothing that's going to change.
All right. 855-839-1210. That will get you in and hit us as we just heard from Bo. Some event in real time, that's a side question today, that you remember that really had an impact on whatever your emotion was at that point. It could be something like the opening of the vet or a political thing or something major. So we have to bring you a couple more people today that were there. We're working on them and what it was like on the scene and their thoughts as they go forward. Dave McCormick was there. He's out there all over the place. And Bob Casey Jr. hasn't said a whole lot. You know, this Madeline Dean, though, even though she seems to be a bit player, she's just
decency,
just the worst form of hack. But she's in a safe district. The crazies out there in Montgomery County. She doesn't tweet out anything on this. Even political violence must stop or whatever, or we don't. Nothing. At least Chrissy Houlihan, for example, did. Susan Wilde, people like that. That's because she's upset. She sees what this means, how limiting things are for President Biden at this point. And she sees Trump taking the high road, which is exactly what you want. You don't want this convention now to move away from the moment of what the other side has been about. Not let them, like Martha Raddatz, talk about parity here again. No. That's not where we're going. This all adds up. See, it's all incremental. Judge Marchand, the sentencing and all, given all that's going on here, is going to be very, very difficult on him. He was never Senate confirmed, the special counsel. That's one of the reasons in a 93-page opinion it was put out. But I gave Dan something this morning that we'll play maybe tomorrow, depending. Fox 29 again, Dan. Great report. Claudia Vargas. And the report is that the police, I wanted you to know that Krasner last week, you saw what he did to the Fitzgerald family. He's not getting away with it, though, that the police are setting up the battle with him. Dan, as I understand it, you were looking at it, that Vargas reporting they've set up a special police review of the people that are exonerated by Krasner. You know, that nonsense.
Yep.
And that several of them, according to this, the police say, were duly, absolutely the people that should be charged in this matter.
Unsurprising.
Yeah. So, you know, Krasner has got to realize it's a new sheriff in town. Now, some people say, well, why don't we just stop? All right. This is not an easy thing. He's one of the all time difficult ones in the progressive circles here. Yeah, here's a little bit from Claudia Vargas about what this is all about. A special unit of the police that reviews the people he exonerates, and they're ready to prove they were exactly the people that should have been charged in those cases.
Yeah, Johnny, well, this new unit is a change from earlier this year when police officials told us that out of dozens of exonerations, they had only reinvestigated one. And that was because of the NBC 10 true crime series, Who Killed Barbara Jean. Now the department says they want all the case files from the DA's office in order to determine who the killers are in those other murders.
This is the first and only time that I've been here, and I was trying to make some kind of reasoning where it happened and how it happened.
Mary Flomo's husband, Philadelphia police officer Terrence Flomo, was shot and killed near the corner of 20th and Cecil B. Moore in 2005. Weeks after the murder, police arrested William Johnson and Mumin Slaughter for the crime. Both were convicted of third-degree murder.
You thought you had justice initially when the two men were convicted?
Yes, because the DA's office, the police department, lawyers, all kinds of people said that they were the ones. And now, 18 and a half years later, they're exonerated.
Johnson and Slaughter were both released from custody within the last year. Their convictions were overturned, and the district attorney's office declined to retry them.
Now, there are principles of double jeopardy that say you get one trial, and you only get a second trial under certain circumstances. Sometimes it's just done.
District Attorney Larry Krasner says prosecutors in his office found letters from a witness in the Flomo case saying she was forced to give a false statement identifying Johnson and Slaughter. The letters were sent to prosecutors at the time, but never presented to the court or defense.
All right, damn, I think we got enough here. So the police department is not going to be doing as they did with Outlaw and Kenny and just taking this and everybody's exonerated. By the way, I'm watching an update here. I can't imagine we'll have it during the show, but that the VP we know is going to be sometime before tonight is going to be announced. The only thing we see is J.D. Vance with a security detail that a U.S. senator would not have headed to the airport to go to Milwaukee. So it's starting to rise. I haven't seen the predict markets or the buying markets, Dan, whether J.D. Vance is rising on that.
Yeah, so Martha McCallum also writes, Burgum, Vance, Rubio, Youngkin are all in Milwaukee. We are hearing that they're still awaiting President Trump's tap on the shoulder. Apprentice vibes, anyone? She writes.
Yeah, he's going to tonight be on stage. Maybe it'll leak out this afternoon or more hints on it. Again, I'm betting, Dan, that Trump is not going to do. See, when it comes to stuff like this, he's very disciplined. He's not going to say, I surprise you. Come on out, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Come on out, Tulsi Gabbard. And more and more, I you know, look, it maybe puts me on the wrong side with some people, Dan. I think you're okay with that. I still don't see Tim Scott. I really don't want Tim Scott. You know, I don't see that as
boring and nerdy, but
ponderous kind of. And Burgum, I don't know what Trump's seeing there. Rubio, I get what he would do. I don't think Trump trusts him, though, in the end. And J.D. Vance, there's a lot to like, but there's going to be a lot of battles with him, too.
So don't get me wrong. I think this conversation is completely appropriate because we need to determine who the VP is. But does it still matter?
Trump, do you think Trump still has to worry about his VP with the implications on the race, or do you think he just has such an easy cakewalk to the finish line at this point?
No, I think he's trying to send a message. Well, look, anybody in his spot not only wants to win now, they want a landslide. Somewhat as a mandate to get started. Yeah, not only that, for history, you want to be landslide Donald Trump coming off this. Yeah, the wind's at his back. There's a lot. I think now that my prediction that Biden is going to be the nominee is set in stone. They don't want to deal with this in the middle of this. If I were the Democrats, though, Dan, there's no shot with Biden. You throw Kamala Harris in there, hoping you catch fire in some weird kind of way, which is almost impossible to believe. But Biden, what does he have to offer at this point in time? There's nothing that I can see.
I mean, if you think that it's going to be a landslide no matter what, right. Biden's just a stooge at this point, that you let his reputation get ruined. He loses the election, and you don't, you know, put up Gavin, you don't put up Kamala, you don't put up Josh Shapiro and have them embarrassed on a national stage moving forward.
Well,
essentially what I'm saying is you keep Biden in there for the sole aspect of let the guy get embarrassed, Democrats think, because we don't want to embarrass somebody else and hurt our future.
Well, they're not going to pick Kamala Harris, and her only shot is to go for it now. I think she would know that. She couldn't even get into the primary the last time. And she's going to hold off Newsom and Josh Shapiro and people like that in 28? No way. So if I were advising her, you got to hate.
Kamala's like, I don't care if I'm in embarrassment. This is the only shot.
Yeah, you got to go for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's the first thing you have to lose, embarrassment. If you care about embarrassment, you're not going to
I feel like if you're a political candidate and you're embarrassed, if you spell potato the wrong way, you're screwed.
Well, yeah, but you know what? The shot, when the shot's there, you take the shot. 855-839-1210, you get on board. The Krasner thing is good news here, that there's a counterbalance. And we'll return to that once all this simmers down. Don't forget, though, Don Trump Jr., could it be any better? Coming our way July 30th, if you have not been to the Scottish Rite, it is a great facility in Collingswood, just over the bridge, great park, everything's there. And you get to book Letters with Trump. All right? Not sure of the signings, and I'll let you know if there's going to be any autographing or any of that done. But get your seats now. Dan and I are looking at the charts. They're filling up. There's VIP seats. Go to 1210WPHT.com. There's a meet and greet that night, which is going to be fabulous behind the scenes with Don Trump Jr. And then he and I, for an hour and 15 minutes, we're committed to, Dan. I've already started to take to the mattresses, preliminary questions. I have a feeling I won't get in a word edgewise, but that's okay.
Just ask one question.
There might be some vodka on stage. Who knows? All right. So 1210WPHT.com. That's where you go. There will be a White House briefing on, I guess, the Secret Service now. Just beyond disgraceful. What's left in America that we have faith in? It's just utter, sheer, the best and the brightest competency. The Secret Service, look at how they subdued Hinckley and got Reagan out of there. Look at the size and fitness of those men. Way back when Reagan was just president, versus what we saw, the disgrace on Saturday. Ridiculous. They're an embarrassment. They're a laughing stock at this point. Not every person in the Secret Service, but the infrastructure of this is really, really lacking. And this is life and death.
You talk about it leading up through years now. We're talking, what was it, the Secret Service had 30% women on the force?
That's a goal.
Yeah. And we've often said, you talk about the Philadelphia Police Force lowering standards and the quality of work that they get. How much of the lowering standards contributed to what we saw out there?
Would you Google that, too? I don't know if we know if it's secret or not, the standards for the Secret Service. Like, what do they have to do a mile in? What do they have to pick up? That woman that was Melissa McCarthy, I don't know if she could run a block. And they look awful awkward with their guns, even putting it back in their holster, etc. There's no way that that's who you want, the seriousness of this, given everything that's out there. And how in the world do you farm off to the cops there in the site to control that rooftop? And again, Why did they not have enough cops to be at least on the rooftop of all those available spots? You know, and we always want to get away from the, I do, conspiracy stuff. And the way to do that is simply to be competent. Then if something happens, it's random. What are you going to do? But this is not one of those. This is sheer incompetency. Where were the drones? Where were the helicopter to be hovering over those areas for security? And they have Dan thermal imaging and all. Why didn't the sniper take the shot? Apparently, there are many stories indicating they had some sense of that. He didn't have to wait for the go-ahead. He should be doing it this week. You get tired of just all the delays that go into this. They're trying to move past this. And this is the Biden person who was the Biden detail before. He made her the head of Secret Service. Got an answer for that, too.
She's Pepsi's, you know, security.
Yeah, she was the head of Pepsi.
Yeah, yeah.
My father, Dan, you know, when he was a cop, the real cops called the cops of, like, I guess, security, Pepsi-Cola cops. Meaning they were guarding the Pepsi Cola that was outside of the supermarket. I know. That's what this woman reminds me of, a Pepsi Cola cop. We've seen this play out. And not only that, when you get away from the best and the brightest and you start making exceptions to one thing or another and you have a goal of 30% being women, then you're going to – we played this out before, Dan. This was with the Pennsylvania State Police. And the requirements they had to be a state cop and how these women's groups sued. So we did Huff, Puff, and Cuff at Andy's Diner with women who were able to pass and said, this is ridiculous that you definitely should have to pass with the men pass. Or, and a state cop is different than being the Secret Service. It's supposed to be the pinnacle of protection for obvious. And what's shocking is they're supposed to be driven. They're supposed to be fanatical down to detail. Anybody listening right now think that this is fanatical, that you can allow a shooter to be in that zone in that manner? If you don't have, if there's not enough resources, they need more money to protect people running for office, then that should be done. But I don't think that's the case. The case is they went by the book, so to speak. Well, this is just a candidate for president. Dr. Jill Biden is the first lady in the line of order here, which isn't even constitutional. We need to protect her, and we'll give Trump seemingly the B team that day. A lot of them were not regulars. They're depending upon local law enforcement. This building was obviously a point in their prelim to this, and yet they couldn't control it. And what this does, two things. When there's nothing in society we can aspire to and go, you know what, this is the best, this is elite, these people don't screw up like this. That's one. And two, it opens up, well, it must be conspiratorial. They must have wanted it to happen. That starts to seep in. You go, well, look at all these people pointing to the roof and no one's doing anything. Immediately, then all that seeps in to the calculation here. That's the story here. That's what Congress ought to drop everything for and start the investigation immediately. But Trump is taking exactly the right point. He's not going after the Secret Service. He's talking unity. He's talking, he's going to control this convention. You're not going to see people going wild in any speech because you know how that'll play. They'll use that to deflect from this moment. And at this moment, there is definitely no way Joe Biden can win. Now it's just a question of solidifying that and moving forward. Could there be an October surprise? Yeah, always. It could be an October surprise. But what possibly could be a surprise at this point? After Lawfare and after the things we've seen play out. All right, 855-839-1210. Apparently, there's going to be a House committee briefing with the Secret Service director. We'll see if any of those that are in our sphere of influence and what they can come on and talk about. But this outfit, not answering questions over the weekend has been roundly criticized. This is a broader issue. What in our society is still impeccable? Navy SEALs is about the only thing I can tell you off the top of my head where I go, we have ultimate confidence in them.
Green Berets.
Yeah, Green Berets.
The
Green Berets, Dan, I think they've infiltrated with lowering standards. By the way, if you found out, I just wanted to illustrate.
I got them all in front
of me. Yeah, do you have the physical fitness assessments, men versus women?
Yep.
Tell me.
Yeah, so an excellent. So age 20 to 29 is what I'm going to focus on for men versus women. So let's do push-ups first.
Well, wait a minute, Dan. First of all, there shouldn't be age variance. So if you're 30.
Oh, there's age variance, yep.
Yeah, if you're 30 and you can't do what a 25-year-old should do, I want the 25-year-old then.
All right, so how the U.S. Secret Service test works, Dom, is they're supposed to achieve a certain level of points. And they're awarded a certain point value if they can have their physical fitness fall within a certain range.
Okay.
So focusing on push-ups for males, for 4 points, a man 20 to 29 has to do 55 push-ups, a female 40 push-ups. For a one, so let's say if you want to get at least 1 point, you have to do 38 push-ups as a male, 20 push-ups as a female.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Do you want to do all sit-ups, chin-ups, or do you want to just go straight to the mile?
I want to hear the chin-ups.
You want to hear the chin-ups?
You know what? I can't do one either, but when I go to the gym next time, I am going to make it a point. I've made it a point before. It's a coordination thing, too. Give me the chin-ups.
So it doesn't matter your age for females for chin-ups, anybody from 20 to 50. 1 point for one, 2 points for two, 3 points for three, 4 points for four.
Wow, it's a pretty low standard, I think, here, because you got to lift somebody like Trump.
For men, 20 to 29, very poor, so 0 points is four.
Right.
Poor is 5 to 6 pull-ups. That's 2 points. 3 points. I'm sorry. 2 points is 7 to 8. 3 points, 9 to 10. 4 points, 11 pull-ups.
How about the mile?
Okay, a mile now is a mile and a half. So it can fuzzles things a little bit because we always go by mile. Time.
Okay.
For men, poor, a one in that 20 to 29 range. Because I keep giving 20 to 29 because I'm assuming that's what most of the recruits are around that age, right? It's 12 minutes and 52 seconds for men. It's 15 minutes and 27 seconds for women.
That's just completely unacceptable, Dan. We got 1,000 guys listening right now, probably eating a pizza while doing this, and can do a mile and a half in 15:27, consuming most of a pizza. I'd love to line them up and do another, but that's ridiculous. Even the 12.52, that's good. It's not horrible, Dan, but...
So I've actually gotten it down to science that... Okay. I walk an exact mile with my dog for her walks. I've mapped it out. It takes me 22 minutes at a brisk walk, brisk pace of walking my dog.
A mile?
Yeah.
You can only do it in 22 minutes.
Yeah, well, I'm saying there and back. But if I'm saying if I can do a mile by walking slowly with a dog, mild walk with a dog. If I can do that in 21 minutes, I think I could probably run a mile in under 15.
Well, I do two miles in about 26.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a mile and a half, I certainly can do in 15:27. I mean, because that last half mile is slower.
If you want 4 points as a woman, it's 12:50. You think you could do that?
12:50
for
a mile and a half?
Full score. If you want a full score on your mile for Secret Service recruitment.
Look, if pushed to do
and
it.
You're a female.
If pushed to do it, to illustrate this, possible, yes.
I feel like we have some kind of event.
Yeah, I think we have something we have to do. I want a guy.
I'm not running. I'm just putting that out there right now.
I want a guy eating a pizza to do it in 15:27. It's definitely doable. And eating the pizza, yeah. Thank you, Dan. Dan Time with Dom is next. We're coming to your calls. I mean, come on. 15:27. I need to hear from some female runners. 855-839-1210. Dan, how do you like that title, too? Huff, Puff, and Cuff. Is what we did in Andy's.
It's a great title.
Yeah, it was great.
Almost as good as Politics and Pints.
Yeah, there you go. Politics and Pints. That's right. Nice segue. 1210 WPHC.com. Have you gotten your Don Trump Jr. tickets yet?
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan Time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody said.
With Dom.
All right. Now I feel like I'm right on track there, Dom. But so we saw what happened over the weekend, an absolutely horrific event play out. But Scott Pressler referenced something earlier, and he said that he's seen his registrations, they're flying off now, going even faster.
And he mentioned a lot of young voters are now coming around to Trump. And I got proof right here, Dom. This comes from a comedy club in Tempe, Arizona. And I say that, I want to underline that, because Arizona is a big state in this election, Dom. A swing state. And listen to the crowd reaction when you hear this comedian, Cam Patterson, make jokes. This is Saturday night, just after the assassination happened, Dom. Take a listen.
I see the president, well, the that's running, not Trump. He got shot, dog. They shot him. This done been shot. Done went to jail. He done scammed people. And this my uncle. Who the who the hell? He's black. He's officially black now, bro. This is beautiful. They shot him. He was like, yeah, I'm having a fight. He was fine. He was doing like this and walked out with an American flag on him. Like this. He put one real. Like, I'm a real. They
got out of here. In the air.
That's hard, bro. I wasn't even finna vote. I'm voting now, dog. He got it. He won. I wasn't even finna vote. I had no skin in the game. I like that got shot. He won. The bull. That's he had real ops. What the? Joe Biden biggest op is the stairs. That's it.
All right. The joke's already being made about this, and you hear a crowd reaction. Sometimes comedy clubs, you'll get hecklers going back. Seems like everybody's on the same page with this, Dom, and I think it's further proof that this is going to be a landslide, man. A lot of people, they can't justify not voting for Trump after seeing what happened this weekend. A big, big event, Dom, but some great callers coming up and great guests. I got to get out of the way.
All right. Coming up, a suggestion from a listener, Michael S. Dan, who's great at this. When Trump tonight should announce the VP pick. It makes perfect sense because Biden has a big interview tonight. And if he did it, like 15 seconds or so, time it into the Biden interview, it would be fascinating to see what happened. We're going to talk with one of the RNC chief strategic communications people, Tommy, and it's pronounced Pigott.
I believe so, yeah.
I think it's Pigott, who was there, right there near the stage or on stage with President Trump on Saturday night. And the image that is hard to imagine, you couldn't even stage an image like this, that was created by Trump when he was going off stage. And just what Trump is communicating now. But I'll tell you the exact time he ought to announce the VP and what it would do tonight.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.